govern the implementation of the machinations, nonetheless remain obscured. Thus, the societal resistance to Psi breaks neatly into two aspects: to prevent Psi development, and to keep obscure the actual reasons for doing so. One reason for the blanket suppression, which has been offered up by many before me, is that effective formats of Psi would disturb any number of social institutions. Those institutions would feel threatened by developed formats of, say, telepathy, which might therefore be utilized to penetrate their secrets. There is some rather clear truth in this. Indeed, it is because of this truth that some echelons of humans are at war with the Psi potentials of the human species, because those echelons have motivations they would prefer never to be disclosed via Psi penetration. If this is the case, the chief preventative measure would be to stamp out altogether any real understanding of Psi. Indeed, something like this has taken place. And the cognizance of the nature of the situation might remain more or less being defined as humans in conflict with their own Psi potentials, because Psi penetrates secrets. Indeed, on my part, for a long time, I assumed that this was the beginning of the end of the story regarding the methodical suppression of Psi by high societal echelons such as represented by government, science, academe, and media. As it happened, however, the events described in Part 1 of this book occurred beginning in 1975. These are the events I can't prove. Nonetheless, they made somewhat visible another possible aspect that might be factored into the odoriferous suppression of Psi that was already familiar to me. This aspect required that I introduce two unusual terms, Earthside and Spaceside. These refer, of course, to Earthside intelligence and Spaceside intelligence. The central hypothesis of this book is that if developed, Psi potentials would be an invasive threat to Earthside intelligences. Then developed Earthside Psi would also be a threat to Spaceside intelligences. After all, in that telepathy, for example, is invasively defined as reading minds, the distinction between reading Earthside minds and Spaceside minds would be very narrow. The only real problem in considering this is whether or not Spaceciders exist. I have decided not to enter into the relevant debate about this issue, but rather direct the reader to the copious literature already existing, with special regard to the weekly UFO Roundup that can be located in the Internet. See the bibliography. The inclusion in this book of the story I can't prove is not being offered as evidence about the existence of Spaceside intelligence, but because the reader deserves to know why I have concluded there is far more to telepathy than commonly conceived in Earthside terms. In this, the thinking proceeds from actual experience and not from analyzing the information packages presented in the works of others. The works of others, of course, have proved to be valuable in the long run,
and they certainly introduce a modicum of authenticity
that would otherwise go completely missing. In the end, though, the authenticity of my personal, unprovable experience probably doesn't need to be considered all that much, because the drift of accumulating information is inexorably leading to establishing the authentic existence of extraterrestrial intelligences anyway. One factor that won't be apparent throughout this book is the large amount of time, years actually, it took to achieve the synthesis of the factors presented. I tend to be a rather slow thinker and am sometimes even slower on the uptake. I had originally intended to include a lengthy discussion regarding the probability that telepathy might be a universal language system of some kind that operates through consciousness entities everywhere. I briefly allude to this in Part 3, but otherwise have decided to include that discussion in another work, because it needs a larger information basis that includes the nature of energy organisms. But I feel obliged to comment on some of the reasons I decided to go ahead with the book after so many years have passed. In late 1990, I read a well-documented report of a large UFO craft sighted